Let's go ahead and begin the message here. If you would, this afternoon, turn with me in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And I was getting so much into singing there that, once again, my voice feels weak, so pray for my voice. Galatians chapter 5, we read in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Today I am bringing a brief message of warning. I probably should have brought some time ago about a mind-bending drug that I unfortunately know somewhat about, having been addicted to it myself many years ago from my mid-teens into my mid-20s, and having been in some ways, I think, permanently damaged thereby in some ways, and for which addiction, though I was delivered from it by God's grace and conviction, I believe I do still suffer some consequences to this day. And the substance I refer to is marijuana, also known as cannabis, weed, pot, dope, etc. I know from my own experience that the effect marijuana has on young people today is no less than demonic and satanic. And I believe that's even more true now than it was when I was a kid, because marijuana has now been hybridized to be far more potent than it was 40 years ago. As a church, we've also very sadly seen and had to deal with the satanic effect of other drugs that some Christians have been addicted to as well. However, the main focus of today's message is on marijuana, since its abuse continues to increase on a per capita basis, and among young people especially. And because so many today very wrongly think marijuana to be harmless, when in fact it can cause great harm, mentally, physically, and spiritually. And while hopefully no one here today is currently using or abusing marijuana, I think we all know of family members and others that we can share this message with once it's posted online that need to hear it. First, I'm going to talk about the mental and the physical dangers of marijuana, and then, speaking from the evidence of pure science, and I'm going to go over the spiritual dangers and the implications of marijuana and drug abuse in general. I'm going to answer the question from the scriptures: is drug abuse a form of biblically forbidden witchcraft, as many claim today? And just to state right up front my position, the answer, as I will explain in this message, is yes, drug abuse, whether the drug is marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, benzodiazepines, or prescription drugs, when used for the purpose or with the result of achieving an altered mood or mental state, a euphoric feeling, or a sensation of a so-called high, is and does unequivocally and unmistakably involve the forbidden practice of sorcery and witchcraft, as I'll explain in the message. First, I want to talk strictly about the physical and the mental dangers of marijuana, whether used as prescribed for medical purposes or abused for so-called recreational high, to get stoned, or to catch a head buzz, as we used to call it. And by the way, I also need to state up front here that referring to smoking marijuana in order to obtain a head buzz or to get high or to become intoxicated, referring to that practice as recreational, as a recreational activity, I think improperly validates and rationalizes an act that should not be validated or rationalized any more than consuming alcohol to get drunk should be rationalized. So I would instead refer to the practice as being done for mind-altering purposes. Marijuana is classified by the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration as Schedule 1 group of dangerous drugs, and as such, it is legally categorized there with heroin, LSD, peyote, ecstasy, quaaludes, and a few others, psilocybin mushrooms, as being one of the most dangerous of drugs and one of the highest potentials of addiction, with no accepted medical use as far as the federal DEA is concerned. There are several other dangerous drugs like cocaine, oxycodone, and benzodiazepines that are also very mind-altering, very addictive, but are not classified in a Schedule I group of drugs federally. For instance, cocaine and oxycodone are Schedule II drugs, and benzos are down the list on Schedule IV, even though they can be extremely harmful and very addictive physically, producing very dangerous withdrawal symptoms for those that become addicted to them. For these reasons, there's been a lot of controversy about marijuana over the last couple of decades, with a growing call for its, even its mind-altering use, to be legalized or at least decriminalized. At present, according to Wikipedia, the medical use of marijuana is legal with a doctor's prescription in 36 states, District of Columbia, and 4 out of 5 U.S. territories. 12 states that have laws that limit THC for the purpose of allowing access to non-psychoactive CBD oil type products derived from marijuana. And this so-called recreational or mind-altering use of marijuana is fully legal in 18 states, District of Columbia and 2 U.S. territories. And another 13 states in the U.S. Virgin Islands have decriminalized its use so that an adult caught with a small amount of marijuana will not be arrested but will be given a civil citation similar to a traffic ticket. In most states where marijuana possession is possession and use has been fully legalized, commercial sales and distribution have also been legalized. In those states also, personal cultivation for mind-altering use even is allowed. Although the use of marijuana remains federally illegal, some of its derivative compounds have been approved by the FDA for prescription use. In Florida, only the medical use of marijuana with a doctor's recommendation has been legalized. As such, there's only 14 states remaining where both medical and so-called recreational use of marijuana remains illegal. And while I do believe actually a good societal argument could be made for marijuana's personal use to be decriminalized and to stop incarcerating people in the slave labor prison enterprise system for personal use or abuse unless they do harm to others, as states continue to legalize its use for either medical or mind-altering purposes, we are seeing growing evidence of very disastrous consequences across the board. States that have legalized marijuana are now experiencing significant increases in harmful consequences of marijuana use. And whether legal or not, the number of individuals affected by marijuana's harmful effects is continuing to expand in all states. And so what are marijuana's physical and mental dangers? There are many to talk about that everyone should be aware of, including all those who swear by its alleged medicinal benefits. Supporters and users of medical marijuana claim that the drug can be beneficial in various ways, including but not limited to for pain relief, reducing muscular cramps and spasticity, for treating glaucoma, multiple sclerosis, insomnia, and the nausea caused by cancer chemotherapy. Many patients who use medical marijuana do indeed report feeling relief from their symptoms, but that certainly doesn't mean the drug is safe. One of the many dangers of marijuana, whether it's used for medical or mind-altering use, is that it is highly addictive. A major risk associated even with medical marijuana, which advocates will not likely mention, is the fact that today's marijuana is far more potent and intoxicating than what people were smoking in the 70s, 80s, and even the 90s. Today's marijuana plants have been hybridized to be as much as 20 times more potent than the so-called fine Colombian that was so popular in the 70s. There are about 80 types of cannabinoid compounds found in the marijuana plant, the most well-known, of course, being the intoxicating element known as THC or tetrahydrocannabinol, which is what produces the so-called high. The cultivation and hybridization of marijuana over the years has steadily increased the amount of THC way out of proportion to the other cannabinoids, so that the drug is now far more powerful in terms of getting a user high, while many of the other cannabinoids that contribute to some of the medicinal properties of the drug are less prominent. In the early 1990s, the average THC content was less than 4%. It's now about 15%, and much higher in derivative oils and other extracts. Such marijuana extracts have actually 3 to 5 times more THC than the plant itself. And smoking, vaping, or dabbing, they call it, those extracts can deliver very dangerous amounts of THC and has led to many emergency room visits, about 500 million last year. As a result of its higher potency, marijuana is actually also now far more addictive than it used to be, and that's not just mentally, physically as well. People who smoke marijuana today can become physically addicted, as well as forming an emotional dependence as they gradually become more and more prone to use the drug as a way to find relief from stress. And so-called medical marijuana is just as addictive as when it is smoked for purely mind-altering purposes. And so one major danger of marijuana is its addictiveness. Beyond that, though, marijuana has very debilitating effects on the human body and the brain, affecting the immune system, producing respiratory illnesses and lung cancer, and having a very damaging effect on mental health, brain function, and memory. As for its effect on the immune system, according to one Harvard study, one of the strongest arguments against the medical use of marijuana is that it can often cause the acceleration or aggravation of some of the very disorders it's being used to treat. Smoking just one joint per day can damage the bronchial cells that protect against inhaled microorganisms, decreasing the ability of the immune cells in the lungs to fight off fungi, bacteria, tumor cells, producing an increased risk of lung cancer and pulmonary infections like pneumonia, which is often fatal in AIDS patients that's used to treat. Marijuana damages the immune system in other ways also by weakening T cells and the macrophages, or the so-called killer cells that are crucial to fighting disease throughout the body. And this is why many opponents argue that the medical use of marijuana has a very serious negative effect on patients with pre-existing immune deficits resulting from AIDS, organ transplants, or cancer chemotherapy, which are the very conditions for which marijuana is used most widely to treat. It's also been shown that marijuana can accelerate the progression of HIV to full-blown AIDS and increase the occurrence of infections and Kaposi's sarcoma. Marijuana and tobacco smoke contain many of the same toxins, including one which has been identified as a key factor in the promotion of lung cancer and is found in the tar phase of both. And by the way, one marijuana joint has 4 times the tar of one tobacco cigarette. As a result, several reports show a large proportion of marijuana users among cases of lung cancer and cancers of the oral cavity, throat, larynx, or voice box. Long-term marijuana use is directly linked with increased heart rate, elevated blood pressure. Beyond these damaging effects on the human body and physical health, however, what I think is particularly frightening are the well-established damaging effects that marijuana has on brain function and mental health. And this is where I see the effects of marijuana being the most satanic and demonic. In the short term, marijuana use clearly impairs perception, judgment, thinking, memory, math aptitude, learning capacity, quickly leading to a marked decline in school performance. Short-term memory defects may persist for several weeks after last use and can be permanent. Sustained use of marijuana can produce several other serious mental disorders as well. The Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, also known as the DSM, published by the American Psychiatric Association, has an entire section devoted to mental disorders caused by marijuana use, including impaired motor and eye-hand coordination, perceptual disturbances, anxiety, panic attacks, impaired judgment, sensation of slowed time, social anxiety and withdrawal from society, isolation. Specific disorders listed in the DSM also include what they call cannabis intoxication delirium, cannabis-induced psychotic disorder, delusions, hallucinations, and cannabis-induced anxiety disorder. And another listed use in the DSM is known simply as cannabis use disorder, which is the continued use of marijuana in spite of serious distress or impairment it causes. Because you're so addicted to it, you can't quit. The strong desire to use the drug causes difficulties in controlling its use, and people with the disorder continue to use it even when there are harmful results. DSM lists the following criteria for cannabis use disorder. Using cannabis for a minimum of 1 year with the presence of at least two of the following symptoms. Used in larger amounts over a longer time than what was intended. Repeatedly trying to stop or lessen the amount of cannabis used, but unsuccessfully so. Unusual amount of time spent trying to get, use, and or recover from cannabis effects. Having cravings for cannabis, such as thoughts, images, dreams, and perceiving its smell because of an obsession with it. Continued use of cannabis in light of the fact that it has negative consequences, such as physical and psychological problems, loss of personal relationships, partners or friends, poor performance, or criminal charges, actually. And another is the use of cannabis becomes a higher priority than other areas of life, job, school, hygiene, and family responsibilities. In short, smoking marijuana makes a person stupid, lazy, and potentially insane. In addition to damaging immune function and making one more susceptible to respiratory disease and other illnesses. Despite all these clear and present dangers, however, marijuana use and abuse continues to increase on a per capita basis, and especially among young people and teenagers. And that increase among teens is even worse in states where medical marijuana is publicly advertised and falsely marketed as being safe. A 2019 study published in the Drug and Alcohol Dependence Journal found that the more often young people were exposed to medical marijuana advertising, the more likely they were to begin smoking it. And this is while it's also true that teenagers and young people run the biggest risks of permanent damage from habitual use. Now, it has been shown that marijuana use in young people can permanently impair brain development. 1 in 6 teens who use marijuana more than once become addicted to it. And frequent long-term marijuana use has been linked to school dropout and lower educational attainment. Using marijuana causes difficulties in thinking, problem solving, learning, retaining memories, and maintaining attention, especially for young people. Data published by the National Institute on Drug Abuse concluded that, quote, when people begin using marijuana as teenagers, the drug may impair thinking, memory, and learning functions and affect how the brain builds connections between the areas necessary for these functions. So it impairs brain development. Marijuana causes young people to lose their natural motivation to excel and to succeed and to be far more accepting of mediocrity in their own performance in school and in life in general. Mediocrity is accepted. Another study conducted in New Zealand showed that people who started smoking marijuana heavily in their teen years and who engage in ongoing marijuana use throughout their teen years into their adult years tended to lose an average of 8 IQ points between the ages of 13 and 38. An even worse IQ point loss for many. As mentioned earlier, the per capita use of marijuana has increased in states that have legalized marijuana, and so have its harmful effects on the population. The Center for Opioid Epidemiology and Policy at NYU Langone Health in New York City published findings that the numbers of people who have, quote, problematic marijuana use habits have gone up considerably in states that legalize marijuana for recreational consumption. These are all well-established facts of the harmful effects of marijuana. Smoking marijuana makes a person stupid, lazy, and potentially insane. And I can personally testify that I witnessed all these effects beginning in my teen years, way back when marijuana was not nearly as potent and dangerous as it is now. But that's how I know that all the foregoing research listing the damaging effects of marijuana are indeed true. That smoking marijuana makes a person stupid, lazy, accepting a mediocrity in life, and indeed potentially insane. the Lord miraculously convicted me of my sin, saved me out of that addiction, and healed me of many of its effects. However, some of those effects continue even now. In the area of poor memory and vocabulary recall, I am not at all proud of this history. In fact, I'm quite ashamed of it. And therefore, that might be why I waited until now to preach about it. But if preaching this message and posting it online saves one kid from making the stupid mistakes that I made, then it'll be worth doing. There's another element in all of this. As we know, the CIA has been heavily responsible for the importing of drugs into this country, and in fact, having been big business for the Bush and Clinton gang. So personally, I believe that the promotion of medical marijuana and recreational so-called legalization has been coordinated by the powers that be in this nation because they want the population to be high on drugs. People that are socially withdrawn, lazy, stupefied because they are so drugged out and spaced out on marijuana pay no attention to the criminal or tyrannical actions of those in government. They're far more easily controlled than those who are properly functioning and in their right minds. So the government wants a drugged out populace. Those who are on drugs are also far more prone and less resistant to other sins as well, including sexual sin and promiscuity. That brings me back finally around to Galatians chapter 5 and the question, does drug abuse, including the use of and abuse of marijuana, qualify as involvement in witchcraft? And again, as I'll now explain, the answer is yes. The bodily ingestion of psychoactive drugs, whether that drug is marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, prescription drugs, whatever it is, peyote, whatever, mushrooms, used for the purpose or with the result of achieving an altered mood or a mental state, to achieve a euphoric feeling, a sensation of a so-called high, is and does unequivocally and unmistakably involve the forbidden practice of sorcery and witchcraft. We read again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, which of course includes any and all sexual activity outside of marriage, including adultery, uncleanness, meaning a moral impurity of the heart, having a lustful evil eye, which then leads to an outward display of lasciviousness, which means sexual debauchery, whoredom, and wickedness. Verse 20, Paul says, idolatry, meaning the prioritizing of anything in life that's more important to you than obedience to Christ, whether it's money, your house, earthly possessions, whatever it may be. Also, definitely including addictions. Anything that replaces Christ as your joy in life is idolatry. And then Paul lists witchcraft, hatred, variance, which is having a contentious, argumentative spirit, emulations, meaning jealousy or envy of the type that leads to maliciousness, wrath, meaning uncontrolled anger, such uncontrolled anger that usually comes from one of two sources. One, from harboring bitterness and hatred, bearing unforgiveness, or two, from pride. As we read in Proverbs 21, verse 24, proud and haughty scorner is his name, who dealeth in proud wrath. Then Paul lists here strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, and such like, meaning this is not an exhaustive list. Then he says, of the which I tell you before, but I've also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As many of us have heard and understand, that word witchcraft in verse 20 is translated from the Greek word pharmakeia, from which, of course, the English word pharmacy and pharmaceuticals is derived. Strong's definition of pharmakeia says, quote, from 5332, pharmacus, medication, parenthesis, pharmacy, that is, by extension, magic, whether figurative or literal, sorcery, witchcraft. This is how Strong's defines that word pharmakeia. Medication, pharmacy, that is by extension, magic, sorcery, witchcraft. The same word pharmakeia is used in Revelation 9, verse 21, where we read, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. Read in Revelation 18, verse 23, that word is also used. The light of a candle shall no more shine at all in thee, and the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, and thy sorceries, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. A similar word, pharmakeus, or pharmakeus, is used in Revelation 21, verse 8, where we read, but the fearful, the unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Strong's definition of this word pharmakeus is, quote, a drug that is a spell-giving potion, a druggist or poisoner, that is, by extension, a magician or sorcerer. That's how Strong's defines these words. Another similar word, pharmakos, is used at Revelation 22, verse 15, where we read, for without, meaning outside the heavenly New Jerusalem, are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. Sorcerers in that list again. The word there translated sorcerers is that word pharmakos, which Strong says has the same meaning as the word pharmakeus, which once again means a drug, that is a spell-giving potion, a druggist or poisoner. It is by extension a magician or sorcerer. The connection in each of these verses between the words pharmakeia and pharmakeus and the use of drugs and the practice of witchcraft or sorcery is both unmistakable and undeniable. Undeniable. And so is the connection between the satanic effects of psychoactive drug abuse today and the intent and purpose of ancient and the continuing practice of sorcery and witchcraft. That connection also is both unmistakable and undeniable. When we think of sorcery and witchcraft, we think of the working of black magic, casting of magic spells, or invoking of evil spirits. In Acts chapter 8, we read of a sorcerer named Simon. Acts 8, verse 9, there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city of Samaria used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is a great power of God. And to him they all had regard, because of that long time he had bewitched them with his sorceries. There's no evidence in this passage, in Acts 8, 9-11, that this man actually invoked any supernatural power of Satan or evil spirits. And the context instead indicates that he actually deceived the people by trickery, deception, or sleight of hand. Although no doubt, at times, the supernatural power of devils is at work in witchcraft, such as with the witch of Endor, who was sought out by King Saul in the Old Testament, and with the damsel in Acts chapter 16, who we read was possessed with an evil spirit of divination. That said, the term witchcraft actually refers to any deceptive altering of perception so that they do not match reality. And that is clearly what's happening in the abuse of drugs. Witchcraft has always been involved with the mixing of what was perceived as so-called magic potions. Drugs and potions have always been used in witchcraft to induce deeper subconscious states, which actually enable persons to develop and fellowship and have communication with devils. And there is no question that the effects on the devilish hold that these psychoactive drugs have on addicted individuals is just as devilish a spell as any witch can cast on another person. Amen. Or even on herself. And so I do believe that when a person gets hooked on such psychoactive drugs that induce altered mental states, altered states of consciousness, artificial feelings of euphoria, they do indeed allow their minds to be open to oppression and even possession of devils, of the kind that Jesus said may come out only by prayer and fasting, by the intervention and deliverance of the Lord Jesus. And so, yes, the bodily ingestion of psychoactive drugs, whether smoked or swallowed, whether the drug is marijuana, ecstasy, cocaine, benzodiazepines, LSD, peyote, magic mushrooms, whatever your poison, name your poison, prescription drugs, or any other psychoactive drug, used for the purpose or with the result of achieving an altered mood or mental state, an artificial euphoric feeling, or the sensation of a so-called high, is and does unequivocally and unmistakably involve the forbidden practice of sorcery and witchcraft. Amen. And any professing Christian who has allowed himself to become addicted to such drugs and yet tries to deny this obvious connection and justify himself has indeed himself been bewitched. Furthermore, submission of oneself to the influence of such drugs involves and leads to other sins as well, including the sins that Paul mentions here in Galatians chapter 5 of idolatry and drunkenness. Some professing Christians who abuse drugs deny that they are drunkards because they don't drink alcohol. Even the world knows that's not true, since in many jurisdictions, the criminal charges for driving under the influence of drugs match those for driving under the influence of alcohol. It's the same effect. And by the way, many injurious and fatal car crashes are indeed caused every year by those who are driving under the influence of marijuana, the intoxicating influence of marijuana. Any substance that affects perception and mental responses can trigger what the Bible calls drunkenness. I see no distinction biblically or spiritually between drug-induced intoxication and alcohol-induced drunkenness. I see no difference spiritually or biblically. Both involve drug abuse. Both involve idolatrously turning away from the Lord, from the joy of salvation and casting your cares upon Him for comfort, for strength, for grace, to deal with the stress, anxiety of life, turning instead to mood-altering and mind-bending drugs instead of the Lord, to artificially relieve anxiety and produce a drug-induced sense of joy, euphoria, or ecstasy. It's idolatrous. Also allowing the drug, rather than the Holy Spirit, to control the person's actions. Both produce an altered state of consciousness. Both make a person far more open to temptation to sin. Both addictions, drugs and alcohol, produce laziness and slothfulness, cause the addict to selfishly prioritize his own needs over the needs of his family. When the Bible states very clearly in 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Conclusion, in view of all these things, my conclusion is that Christians have no business whatsoever trying to justify even the so-called and very limited medical or medicinal value of smoking marijuana. It may well be a different story with the various extracts from marijuana, wherein the THC has been removed, like in CBD oils, and there's no danger of any psychoactive effects. However, in my opinion, there is no way, there is no reason, and there's no excuse for any Christian to attempt to justify the use of marijuana in a psychoactive form, medicinally or otherwise. As Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, the works of the flesh are manifest: idolatry, witchcraft, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. With which I tell you before, as I've told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As for me, I wish I'd heard this message when I was 13 years old. Amen. I also wish I'd preached it long before now. But I suggest that Christian parents today have an awesome responsibility to make sure these things are taught to their children, and to do all they can to keep them from going in this very, very dangerous lifestyle and practice. Father in heaven, Lord God, we thank you for your word, for the clarity of it, for the truth of it, for the conviction of it, Lord. I just pray, Lord, for those who have been caught up in this sin, that you would deliver them from it. I pray, Lord, for all the young people that would hear this message, Lord, that you would use it to keep them from ever going into this lifestyle, ever becoming stupid enough to get involved with marijuana or these other drugs. Help us to remain pure, Lord. Help us to live for you, to serve you. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing Who Is on the Lord's Side, hymn number 372.